Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. I am your host, Thabo Ncube. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing government measures to protect the formal sector following an outcry by the Confederation of Zimbabwe Retailers that the prevailing economic environment is consistently failing to support formalized sector players in the country. But first, all passengers are feared dead after an American airline jet carrying 60 passengers and four crew members collided mid-air with a U.S. Army helicopter with three soldiers on board late Wednesday. While officials investigate the exact cause, President Donald Trump suggested government diversity hiring programs as a possible reason for the crash near Reagan Washington National Airport. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Widakswara has the story.
Emergency personnel, including divers, worked through the night in the frigid water of the Potomac River near the Reagan Washington National Airport where the wreckage fell. Surveillance video shows the moment of collision between an American Airlines flight from Wichita, Kansas to Washington and a U.S. military helicopter that happened about 9 p.m. Wednesday. 60 passengers and four crew members were on the plane, three soldiers aboard the helicopter. President Donald Trump offered condolences and speculated on the cause of the crash in remarks to White House reporters Thursday.
We do not know what led to this crash, but we have some very strong opinions and ideas.
Trump blamed diversity policies in the Federal Aviation Administration under his predecessors Barack Obama and Joe Biden.
A group within the FAA, another story, determined that the workforce was too white, that they had concerted efforts to get the administration to change that and to change it immediately.
He said the collision should have been prevented. Shortly before the crash, an air traffic controller asked the helicopter if it could see the plane. Officials say dozens of bodies have been pulled from the icy water. The crash is the first major crisis for Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, who was just sworn in Wednesday.
We are going to take responsibility at the Department of Transportation and the FAA to make sure we have the reforms that have been dictated by President Trump.
And for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who said the soldiers were on a training flight and wearing night vision goggles when the crash happened.
The military does dangerous things. It does routine things on the regular basis. Tragically, last night, a mistake was made.
American Airlines CEO Robert Isom vowed to assist in the investigation.
We are actively working with local, state, and federal authorities on emergency response efforts, and the American Airlines care team has been activated to assist our passengers and their families.
U.S. figure skating athletes, coaches, and family members were among the passengers, as were Russian world champion couple Evgenia Shishkova and Vadim Naumov.
We offer our condolences to loved ones who lost our fellow citizens who died in this air crash. There are yet no plans on contact at the highest level.
The crash is the deadliest air disaster in the United States since November of 2001. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
An estimated 9 million Nigerians are deaf or have hearing impairments, and many cope with discrimination that limits their access to education and employment. But one initiative is working to change that, empowering deaf people with tech skills to improve their career prospects. Timothy Obiezu reports from Abuja.
This may look like a regular classroom, but here, assistive technology such as real-time captions and sign language is the primary mode of instruction. 3 years ago, Dr. Rowola Yola launched the Deaf in Tech initiative to equip deaf individuals with in-demand tech skills, including data analysis, Python programming, software development, and web design.
Tech is a leveler, and providing tech skills empowers the deaf person to be able to do more, to be able to work, to be more visible for employment.
Deaf in Tech also partners with companies to connect students with job opportunities. Ayola says the program has provided life-changing opportunities for more than 1,000 deaf individuals, many of whom have launched successful careers in tech.
The National Monitoring Dashboard for the 2023 election, and it was built by the deaf community. That dashboard was outstanding. That's what was showed on most of our national media.
Nigeria is home to an estimated 25 million people with disabilities, including the 9 million with hearing difficulties. A survey by a disability rights group, the Inclusive Friends Association, found that 90% of Nigerians with disabilities face systemic exclusion from education, technology, and employment, leaving them economically disadvantaged. This is despite Nigeria's 2019 National Disability Act, which was designed to promote inclusion. Victor Oricha, a computer science graduate, joined Deaf in Tech last year and now works as an instructor.
Here, the access is there. There's a sign language interpreter, you know. So everyone, even the staffs here, some of them want a language and they could communicate with me. So I felt very welcomed.
For students like Veronica Sunday, the goal is to use their new skills to secure high-paying jobs.
If I can get a job, of course, I don't mind. Also, it's technology-based knowledge, so I can use it to work in a tech field or use it to also sell my businesses.
To expand access to training, Ayola launched an online learning platform called DeafLearn, inspired by platforms like Udemy and Coursera. With more funding, he hopes to extend the Deaf in Tech initiative to Lagos, Ghana, and Rwanda this year. As Nigeria's tech sector booms, initiatives like Deaf in Tech are breaking down barriers and challenging stereotypes about disability, one deaf professional at a time. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Abuja, Nigeria.
With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube has announced measures meant to promote formalization and tax compliance by the informal sector as a way of promoting and protecting retailers and wholesalers. These measures include the mandatory use of point-of-sale machines, discouraging the manufacturers from supplying goods directly to vendors or tax shop, as well as the establishment of an inter-agency enforcement team to enforce compliance in the informal sector. Will these measures produce the desired outcome? To discuss this, we are joined by economic analyst Mr. Reginald Shoko and ZANU-PF, and we also have ZANU-PF member and analyst Mr. Masimba Mavaza. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you to the listeners.
Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Thank you. We'll start with you, Mr. Mavaza. What's your reaction to these measures? Do you think they will make much of a difference, seeing that retailers have been complaining that they are not getting enough support, and also we've seen a number of retailers closing shop or scaling down. Can we see these measures helping?
They've come a bit late. The minute we're supposed to have done this in every country, they don't do your business without being taxed, whether it's or not. This was very irresponsible of the minister. No tax is stops at other business. The formal retail. Now, the result ticket closing, any retail closing, that is closing. Most big retailers are closing. So now these rules have come very late. Yes, they would help, but the problem is here. We're not helping anything in this case. We are simply now seeking to fund the government and business by overtaxing people. I'm thinking probably the tax regime should have been put on time a long time back, the moment you realize there's somebody making business. Because as a result, we now had people competing with their tax shops, competing with the retailers to an extent that they are competing and they're paying no tax. And those paying tax, they've got bank, they are banking their monies. But those who are not paying tax, they are not banking their monies either. So the tax flow is actually affected. So as a result, the result of the measure taken today or taken now by the minister, it's too late for comfort. It's actually too late.
Thank you, Mr. Mavaza. Mr. Shoko, what's your take on this? As you heard there, Mr. Mavaza saying these interventions come a bit late. They should have been done earlier. What's your take? Do you think these are the right interventions that the minister has come up with?
I think first we have to appreciate, and I like the colleague. Is genuine, and the truth is the fact that the minister is reacting, and this has become a disease that we have. We are more reacting than proactive. I think the informalization of the Zimbabwe economy has been going on for the past almost 7-8 years. It got scary last year, obviously, around July, when we discovered that it was over 64%. And at that time, the warning signs were there for everyone to then see that one day we'll have the situation we're experiencing today, where former players will be closing down. And you know the impact of former players closing down is the loss of employment, loss of revenue in terms of government. And the day the minister came in and introduced the MIT tax, it showed that government potential revenue collection points were dwindling. And then they should have intervened at that very moment in time to say, why is our revenue dwindling? It's dwindling because the economy is informalized. Yes, we can be very creative about resource mobilization through taxes. But those taxes are seen as a burden or a punishment to the former players who feel they are overtaxed. Inasmuch as most of these taxes are justified from an economic sense, but to an ordinary man, he feels that is overtaxed. The burden is on him. And the burden is only on him because he feels government is not doing its role. Which government must actually be providing an environment? We need to appreciate a few things. The economy is no longer the same economy we had in 2000. People lost a lot of jobs. Many people in the lost jobs, they tried and find ways of surviving. One of the ways of surviving has been buying and selling. In their buying and selling, they started bringing goods from outside the country. And at the time, I think 2 years ago, we had products, about 80-90% of the products in our shelves being local products. What did the retailer or the vendor to use informal. It doesn't stop you ordering products from outside. You went directly to the manufacturer of the product locally and sold the product on the street in US dollar terms, while the formal is selling at a rig and at a controlled exchange rate. And obviously, the outside informal sector player has an advantage. He doesn't pay tax. He uses whatever exchange rate. He collects the immediate US dollar. And when he's got the immediate US dollar, remember the retail, the manufacturer needs to manufacture tomorrow. The moment we don't support him, he needs to find US dollar. And the only way he can find currently US dollar is to sell red in the corner. When red comes and buys US dollars, because he's collecting the US dollar directly from the consumer. So what we're seeing today is a reaction of what has been building in the past 48 months. And at the moment, we're reacting at this way, way out of time. So what we then need to do, the interventions will have been, how do we help and support and capacitate the manufacturer instead of carrying even the informal sector by trying to push them into formalization. Formalization can be pushed through a coercive, not a coercive way, but make people aware that in as much as we are selling this product and you're not formalized, you are affecting the job of your neighbor. Tomorrow there is more pattern of this, and that people will then appreciate. I'll give you, we need to appreciate the disruptive the entrepreneurship in the economy are world over. They are there world over. The people standing in the streets are all over Asia. They are all over Europe. But it's time, and these people appreciate that they have to pay for something to do that. But ours, no one has actually educated them. I'll give you a phenomenon that is very common here in Ulawai, which we tend to call malls. These malls that have taken over all big buildings and subdivided. What has council done in Ulawai? It has gone to license those individual shops. And council made a lot of revenue last year from those individuals. That's formalization. What then we need is that the regulator and this time Zimbabwe, you tend to go with council to formalize these people. All regulators, they need to sit down with these people, formalize. By pushing them to say we need the POS system, we need this, you are forcing them to find innovative ways of avoiding the system. But when you are up, we send them to understand how council has done it in law, to make them understand you need a license, you need to pay a license to operate that small shop of yours and put inside that mall so that we recognize is the best way. And you see the measures the minister has brought. He has a compliance unit. That is, we're just coming from a December in Ulawai. It's battling the biggest case. We're coming from a December where one of the biggest places in Ulawai, 100 flowers, shut down, just like that, in a December period. When these businesses must be making money, last for days, demand that you smuggle this and that, justify yourself. These are things that, tactics that don't work. They scare away people. These are our people. These are our entrepreneurs. There are people who are finding an opportunity they get to leave. We need to find policies and ways to convince them to formalize rather than regular forcing them through laws. I think at one time around the Mugabe time, we had become a country of SI where almost everything is an instrument to govern it. We don't need to go back to that time where we govern everything. Sometimes these people can be engaged. I think they are business organizations that represent SMEs, that represent vendors.
Thank you.
Engage them. Find a comfortable way of dealing with this rather than going and putting a policy, putting a statement like this. Because the moment you put a statement like this, people are very creative. They will look for a way to circumvent it.
Thank you, Mr. Shoko. We'll come back to you. And Mr. Mawaza, the finance minister, Mthuli Ncube, says that formal businesses are struggling due to the informal sector, poor management, and poor corporate governance. Do you agree with this view, Mr. Mavazi?
Yes, I do agree with this view. But the point we are looking at here is what has caused that? What has caused such unfair competition? The informal businesses have been allowed to mushroom by his ministry, by the government minister, who were supposed to be the ones who will stand in and deal and formalize the informal ones. What I agree with what Shoko had said, what Mr. Shoko had said, that the government or the minister is now being reactive. And now we are steps back economically. We are steps back to the troubles we are facing. And as a result, our economy is damaged already. Once it's damaged, it means people are the ones who are going to suffer out of this. To tell us the causes of this suffering, the causes of these problems, is not what the minister should do. The minister should come with options, with a solution. But what we have now is we must formalize our economy. Our economy is like, it's like we wait and see what happens tomorrow, then come up with a rule. That would see as a result in Zimbabwe now, black market is mushrooming. You cannot expect the formal businesses to be relying and surviving on black market. The black market rate makes the price unstable. But unless there is a very strong rule, a very strong quota given to the formal businesses from the bank, the withdrawals of monies, you look, for example, it has been trending, and I know our government, being a good government, they are going to take action quickly. That another businessman, we don't know what business he normally does, he gets 20 million every month for his company. But the formal businesses like the OK Zimbabwe are not given over about a million a month. But they've got so many shops, they are the ones who bring money and bank it. So the more that people would know that somebody gets more money and they don't, they will hide their money, they will keep money at home. When the money is kept at home, the cash flow becomes a problem, the liquidity of cash in the country becomes a problem. And then it raises the prices, it closes the shops, it closes business, and it causes strike. And when you look at it, people do not just have confidence in what you say if they know that there's been a problem under your watch, there's been a problem under your nose, and then you stand up now and say, we are going to deal with this problem this way. We must have a preemptive action. We must have a team. The minister does not work alone. He must have a team which has good eyes, which is open, which is open-minded, which foresee what must be done. There's nothing difficult about dealing with the economy. Because we look at how other economies are running, how other taxes are done. We cannot overtax people because it will lead to rebellion. We cannot overtax businesses because they're closed down. We cannot overmilk a cow, it ends up milking blood. So the raft of measures put by the minister, yes, they would be very helpful if they've been done long back. But at this moment, yes, it will take time to go back into normality. As we have said, as we are saying now, that retailers are closing. And this, you wonder whether it's sabotage or not, because we are sabotaging ourselves. We should have looked at these things and dealt with it some time back. We should have dealt with this matter long back. So, yes, we are actually in a quandary as people. The people who suffer here are the people on the grassroots, like the old saying, which says, where two elephants fight, it is the grass which suffers. Particular moment, in conclusion, the people of Zimbabwe, and us, the people on the grassroots, are the ones suffering over these rules. Now, in conclusion, I'm saying, if you start overtaxing those tax shops, those informal businesses, you are literally taking them off business, taking them off their informal employment, and that causes another strife on the other angle.
Thank you, Mr. Mabaza. Siphenduka kuwe Baba Shoko lapha ngamafichane singathi uMnumzana Ncube uqondile nanxa esithi umlando ukulabo abaku informal sector abayibo athi yibo ke asebe senza ukuthi kuvalwe izitolo njalo abanye bathi umbiko wakho lowo awuzange ukhangele udaba lokuthi imali yakwamanye amazwe i-forex ayitholakali kanye lokuthi i-rate eyabe ikhona ku-formal le-black market iyachiyana okwenza kube nzima ukuthi abezitolo basebenze kuhle ngamafitshane ukubona njani lokho babashoko
I think it's just a vulnerable with the informal sector, with the corner, and the other corner, and the economy. Also, Umbanga Lisa, also, with the percentage informal sector in Zimbabwe, it's in cool with my formal. Owens, I would even informal sector, lower government policies, I feel like, in fact, lower intervention, yabo ukuthi le impact ku-economy ngoba informal yazivusa kwezintando yenzakala ngomathanda okufuna ukwenziwa ngalelo langa. I-informal sector sifuze sikwazi ukuthi kufika lapha kuyizitshengiso zokuthi i-formal i-struggling and kuyizitshengiso zokuthi i-formal ayikho ndlela yokuphila ebantwini. Abantu bephila ngendlela eyi-informal. Ungakunanzela mhlawumbe zibe imisebenzi esikhathini esithi singangukuthengiswa. Ungakunanzelela ukuthi khona ama-industry, ama-manufacturer, normally when they export, they will get foreign currency. Any percentage of your transfer for my foreign, that was a strategy. But even if you charge on a regular engine, which the foreigners to import, ama-manufacturer needs to import, ama raw materials. Ewa import, uga ding foreign currency every stock. And the foreign currency lula ngothi mina ngatholi 30% manje ngithi ngizothi the foreign currency buyo owenza bypass ama wholesale ama former retailers osokubulele i retail chain ngokwayo lokhu kuyinsenzakalayo as a survival mode for manufacturers kuvela kuyindlela izinto ezenzakala phambi kwe-economy. So singayi blame informalization, but informalization is also promoted by the happening of the formal. Sibekuvumelane la enye yokuthi industry ngakwayo sesigulen. There was a time when they were getting free man le ezazingama-loan e-reserve bank ezazingaze ababekhiwa khona i-auction imali ze-auction babesenza ngemali. Were they building up their capacity? Thatha imali yana bephomba ukuthatha beyigcinise emkhambeni omnyama bebisele futhi bethenga next week. So there's too much indiscipline in this economy for us to pick up hands and say no na no. But government now is the provider of an environment. They now need to make sure they limit the impact of informalization. How do they limit the impact of informalization? Support the production sector. Unfortunately, the route that is taken of providing facilities for we take us back to our classical operation, those kind of our reserve bank. These are the rules we have been to identify a massive part of the college. Zimbabwe is not the accident defined as an agricultural country. We bring in one way and one. We are an agricultural economy, mining economy. Let's focus on that and do that in comparative advantages in the comparative that we have. Support those sectors. We can go far. But at the moment, for us, when pick up the land and say, low, 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 we're not doing a solution. How are we doing it? Obviously, let me tell you one thing. Mina, as a citizen, I feel, every citizen, feel like, you know, but then it takes, you know, how are we doing it? You know, how are we doing it? You know, how are we doing it? But how do we then get to a level with Labana battery takes they feel the same burden and punishment as it tolls? Then our other battery takes. So we need can be an academy at INA. And sometimes it means more than even as a minister of finance. It is more than the government, but it calls for a discipline in the economy. What discipline we don't have? And it also starts also in government with overexpenditure. It also starts in banks borrowing and directing borrowing or borrowing. So if you're going to even in exchange that government will react, they're just reacting on this agreement.
Siyabonga kakhulu Baba Shoko. Sibonge njalo umnumzana Mabaza. Unfortunately isikhathi sethu yiso esithe sathi sagijima ke asenelisa ukuthi siqhubeke ngalingxoxo. Sibonga kakhulu abangene kuhlelo lethu namhlanje. Thank you so much Mr. Reginald Shoko and Mr. Masimba Mabaza for being on Live Talk. Unfortunately we are out of time and that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you all for joining us on Live Talk. I am Tabakan Ncube in Washington, D.C.